Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our current teaching series entitled, Bod for God. We're talking about four keys to a better body. Please take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Today we're going to be talking about something really, really significant when it comes to Bod for God, and that is eat and exercise. And what we're talking about today is managing your habits. We're going to talk about how you get this actually downloaded into your daily habits, your daily lifestyle. And so I'm so glad you joined us today. And I'd like to ask you, if you would, to take out the study guide. Please take that out and use it. If you're listening online today, I want to welcome you. And I want you to know that you too can have the study guide downloaded there through our website. Well, today I'm really, really excited about this message. I've been anticipating this message because this is so critical and so important to having a bod for God. Eat and exercise, managing your habits. Now, the basis of this series is this. Your body was created through God and for God. Your body was created, listen, through God. But not just through God. That's great, but don't miss the second part, and that is for God. We're to have a bod for God. Colossians 1:16 says that all things were created through him and for him. Now, God doesn't just tell us we need to have a bod for God. God shows us how to do it. In fact, the word body is mentioned in the Bible 179 times. Now, the purpose of this series is to help you achieve a bod for God lifestyle. Circle the word lifestyle. That's why today's message is so essential. This today is really hitting at the core of a lifestyle. You will learn how to apply four biblical keys for a better body. The messages include, number one, D is for dedication, honoring God with your body. I is for inspiration, motivating yourself for change. And we've already completed those messages. And then E, today, is eat and exercise, managing your habits. And then next week is my favorite key, T. T is for team, building your circle of support. Now, I want to remind you that today, as I talk about this issue, I'll be talking a lot from my viewpoint and what I'm struggling with when it comes to having a bod for God. And my struggle is gluttony. Gluttony. That's where I struggle the most when it comes to having a bod for God. But you need to keep reminding yourself, because some of you maybe aren't struggling in that area, but the deal is this. All of these are transferable concepts. I don't care, okay, what is your sin. I don't care what is your addiction. I promise you that you can take these same four keys and apply them, and you can find victory in your life. So when I talk about weight, when I talk about gluttony, when I talk about slothfulness, when I talk about these sins in my own life that I deal with and struggle with, you just turn it right over. If your deal is pornography or anger or bitterness or alcohol or some drug, I mean prescription drugs, I guarantee you there is a significant number of people sitting right in this room right now that are addicted to prescription drugs. It is so huge in our culture right now. You can't have a bod for God and be addicted to prescription drugs. It's impossible. You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but what is keeping you from honoring God with your body? And focus on that and think about that today as we share this message, because ultimately this is about living the life that God designed for you to live. It's about living the life that God designed for you to live. And whatever is standing in your way of experiencing that incredible life that God has for you, whatever sin is holding you back, whatever addiction is taking you down, this series is about that. It's you overcoming and being victorious and being a winner, so that you can experience what God has for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to read verses 3 through 5. Here the Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 5. For this is the will of God. Now right there, that ought to get your attention. For this is the will of God. That's a pretty significant statement. We are getting ready to be told something that is dogmatically the will of God. That God desires this for every one of us. What is so important that he would call it the will of God? And here it is, your sanctification. Sanctification means holy living. It is God's will that you live a holy life. He saved you that you might surrender your all to him. Getting saved is not just fire insurance to keep you out of hell. It's about becoming more and more like Jesus and one day going to heaven. It's God's will that each of us be sanctified. It's God's will that each of us learn what it is to live a holy, godly life. He goes on to say that you should abstain from, listen, sexual immorality. Now, here it is. Their deal among this group of people that Paul is addressing wasn't gluttony. It was sexual immorality. He was telling them, you can't have a bod for God and be fornicating. You can't have a bod for God and be looking at porn. You can't have a bod for God and be involved in adultery. He says you gotta avoid that stuff. You have to avoid sexual immorality. It's time to abstain from it. If you were involved in any of that sin, it's time to stop it. It's time to end it. It's time to abstain from it. That's what he's telling us here. Then he goes on to say, well, here's the deal. For that to happen, each of you should know how, we got to learn how to possess our vessel. We have to learn how to possess his own vessel. See, if we are going to accomplish this goal of a bond for God, we got to learn how to manage our habits, right? We have to learn how to be able to have a bond for God in such a way that we are learning how to honor God with our vessel, honor God with our body in sanctification and honor. And then he goes on to say, verse 5, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles or like the world or those that are unsaved, who do not know God, who do not know God. What an indictment. He says to these people, you're living like lost people. You're living like ungodly people. They don't even know God. They don't even know God. Wow, powerful stuff. Today we're going to talk about how to manage your habits. Now, we didn't understand that healthy habits produce a healthy body. Healthy habits produce a healthy body. You're never going to have a healthy body without healthy habits. And so today we're going to talk about how to do that. How to do that. It amazes me how many people want to be healthy, but they don't want to do what it takes to be healthy. It amazes me. It's like, wow. You know, I mean, people want such and such. They want health. They want all this stuff. And they're not willing to make habits that take them to that end. It's just not going to happen. Do you understand that? It's just not going to happen. So let's talk about how to manage your habits. Now, I want you to go to your Bible again and turn to Daniel chapter 1. We read a New Testament reading, and now go back to the Old Testament. You got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. And what we're going to do today is we are going to be actually looking at a case study. We're going to be looking at a real person. His name is Daniel. And we are going to see here a model that we can follow for managing our habits. This is a fascinating, fascinating passage of Scripture. And we're going to be looking at Daniel 1, 8 through 16. But to look at it further And to get the context, we're going to note here verses 1 through 7. What's going on here? What's the context? Well, the context is this. Two big things happen in verses 1 through 7. Number one, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, captures Jerusalem. So Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, comes in and he captures Jerusalem. Number two, he lays down an order, and the order is this. I want you to find the very best of the best of the Jewish young men, and I want you to take those best of the best young Jewish men, and I want you to train them and prepare them to work in my palace, to work in my palace. And of that group that was selected, that just handful of young men that were selected, one of them was a guy named Daniel. Daniel. And the Bible tells us here, in response to that situation, how to manage our habits. Number one, obey the Bible. Obey the Bible. Well, the Word of God tells us concerning Daniel how that in verse number 5, the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank. So part of this training was to drink what the king drank and to eat what the king was eating. And so basically we find here in this passage that this food and this drink, the thing that made it the most bad was that it had been offered to idols. And the Bible specifically forbade it. Not getting into just the issue of alcohol or getting to the issue of the food. I mean, probably the food. I mean, it was probably, I mean, it was, by cultural terms, we'd call it good food or whatever. It's not good food, but it, you know, probably had a lot of fat in it and a lot of everything else in it. But from a worldly standpoint, I mean, it was the best. He was the king. He was the king. And the king wanted to make sure these young men were eating and enjoying, so to speak, what he was eating and what he was drinking. And the Bible tells us in Daniel 1 verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. See, Daniel made a decision that he was going to obey the Bible. That he was going to obey the word of Almighty God. He made a decision. The Bible says in Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 22, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. Underline this. And health to all their flesh. Health to all their flesh. Do you see that? What the Bible is telling us here is that by obeying the Bible, you will experience health to all your flesh. I mentioned it earlier in the series. I mean, and I want to say it again, the greatest health book in the world is the Bible. I mean, the greatest health book in the whole wide world is the Bible. It's the Word of God. And by obeying it, you will find health in your flesh. You will find health in your body. Now, the Bible says a lot about the body, and there's two basic things I want to share with you about it and what the Bible teaches. And really, what this comes under is what I call the secret to weight loss. Many, many times, hundreds of times, I've been asked this question, what did you do? What did you do? And the way people ask the question, here's what they're really saying. What was the pill you took? What was the potion you took? Because that's how our culture views weight loss. There's got to be a pill. There's got to be a potion. And we spent billions and billions of dollars on that stuff. I'm not against supplements for health and things like that, but I am very much against thinking you got to have any pill or any potion to lose weight and keep it off. It is not true. I mean, a calorie is a calorie. And basically, if you want to lose weight and keep it off, you have to burn calories. Right? It's not that hard. Now, I know I'm not a doctor, and I know there's other things that affect maybe 5%. Again, I'm not a doctor. I know there's a small minority of people out there, they can do that, and they still don't lose. And I'm not a doctor. See your doctor. But I'm telling you, most of us, nobody in this room, by the way. You know, you're sitting there, yep. He's talking about me. I'm one of those 5%. No, you're not, okay? No, you're not, okay? But let me give you the secret to weight loss. Are you ready? Number one, you have got to eat less. The Bible talks about gluttony. The Bible calls gluttony a sin. So part of finding health to your body is to realize God wants us to control our portions. Our stomach is about the size of our fist. So why do we eat the size of our head? It's not that complicated. Is it easy? No, but it's not complicated. Let me be clear. It's not easy, but it's not complicated. Don't get it all mixed up in your mind. It's not that complicated. Now, with eating less, you got to eat better. And what I mean by eating better is eat for your health, not your happiness. Now, this is huge because people view food and their selections of food by whether it makes them happy, happy, happy. I'm not going to eat that. I don't like it. Excuse me. I need to go vomit, okay, in the bathroom, okay? You really don't want to say that to me, okay? Because I was like that. And it resulted in 340 pounds and high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and diabetes. It really isn't about whether it makes you happy. It's whether it makes you healthy. Now, the good news is you keep eating what makes you healthy, before long it makes you happy. See, at first it's like a sacrifice. Oh, wow, I'm a mighty Christian for God. You know, I'm sacrificing all that. Wow, you know, I'm fantastic. You know, whatever. Before long you say, you know what, this is okay. And then before long you say, this isn't bad. And before long you say, listen, you say, I like this. And before long, that stuff you used to eat every day makes you sick. Your body rejects it. Your body doesn't even want it. That's how it works. Deuteronomy 8, I love it because it describes what God calls good. It says, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. A good land. Underline that. This is a good land. What does a good land look like? A land of brooks of what? Water. Circle that, water. God calls water good. Your body's 70% water. You might want to drink a little water every once in a while. And you want to strive for half of your body weight in ounces. Half of your body weight in ounces. That's what you want to strive for, is a good medium. What else is good in this land? Verse 8, a land of wheat. A land of barley. A land of vines. A land of fig trees. Fast food is fast death. Just do your research. Look it up. See what you're eating there. Land of pomegranates. A land of olive oil. A land of honey. Not vegetable oil, olive oil. God called this stuff good. This is living food. Living food. Proverbs 20:32 says, put a knife to your throat if you're a man given to appetite. Boy, that verse bothered me when I weighed 340 pounds. I would read that verse so fast, I would ignore it. I didn't understand it. It seemed like a weird verse to me. But I knew I was a man given to appetite, and I knew I didn't like knives, particularly around my throat. Okay, so I didn't like that verse, and I just said, God, you can explain that to me when I get to heaven. Then I stopped and pondered it a while. And here's what it teaches us. Number one, it's serious when you got a gluttony problem. It's serious. When you're a person given to appetite and you're a glutton, it's serious. Number two, it calls for action. It says you better do something about it. I mean, really, this is kind of a cultural image of putting a knife to your throat. But the whole idea is do something. Do something about it. Change your life is really what it's saying. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's the litmus test right there. Can I glorify God by what I'm eating right now? Can I glorify God with what I'm drinking right now? Does this glorify God? I mean, put that verse in your mind when you check out from the grocery store and look down in that basket and say, is this glorifying to God? Would God want me to put this stuff in my body that I got here in this basket? This is the Word of God. You got a purpose in your heart. And then exercise more. God's Word tells us that He designed us to be physically active. That's the Word of God. Now, exercise means movement. It may or may not mean going to the gym, but it means, you know, moving your body. It means taking the steps rather than the elevator. It means parking further out in the parking lot, walking in. It means moving your body. And hopefully it will include walking or the gym or some other things that you could get involved in. See, Genesis 2:15 says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to sit around and eat, you know, Pop-Tarts. Or what was he supposed to be doing in the Garden of Eden? Tend it and keep it. Any of you know anything about keeping a garden? Maybe I have ever had a garden. God put Adam in the garden. He says, buddy, you are going to work here. You're going to move. You're going to exercise. You're going to tend and keep this garden. After the fall, it became even harder. Genesis 3:23 says, man, you're going to be in the garden and you're going to have to, you know, till the ground. There's going to be weeds and there's going to be thistles and briars and it's going to get even worse for you. See, God from the beginning expected us to be physically active. 1 Timothy 4 talks about exercise. It's the only time the word exercise is in the Bible. The word exercise is only in the Bible one time. I used to use this verse as a reason not to exercise. Because it says that exercise profits a little. He's saying, I'm not going to do that. Oh, profits a little. Well, what does it really say? Well, number one, it's a comparison. It's talking about the spiritual and the physical. And it does say that when you give yourself to godliness, it's profitable for all things. And not only does it have the promise of life that is now is, it also has the promise of life that is to come. In other words, when you pour yourself into these spiritual exercises, they have eternal ramifications. Because no matter what you do in this body, you are going to die. There's going to come an end to it. An end to it. So it's a comparison between the two. But secondly, you got to understand that these people didn't need to be told to exercise. Because every day of life was an exercise. You understand that? They didn't have indoor plumbing. They didn't have modern conveniences of ovens and microwaves. They didn't have cars. I mean, they walked wherever they went. They didn't have air conditioning. They sweated. Every day was a workout for them. We don't live in that culture. We live in a sitting culture. They say now that sitting is the new smoking for this culture. We've always known that smoking was bad for us, but for the culture today, sitting is kind of like the new smoking. All the sitting we're doing is making us unhealthy. God wants us to exercise. But now I'm going to ask Dr. Liz Baroni to come, and we're going to talk about exercise today. So I want you to welcome Dr. Liz as she comes, and I want you to look in your program, and in your program is an insert that says body and soul. I want you to take that out because we're going to highlight that today. Now, we are blessed to have Liz in our church. We are truly blessed, and her whole family is such a blessing. Honestly, it's an honor for me to be their pastor. Two things. Number one, she's a medical doctor. She is a physician. She's an internal medicine physician. Number two, she's a certified trainer. That is an awesome combination. And she oversees a ministry in our church called Body and Soul. Now, Body, Soul, and Soul is international. It's all over the world. And we just have a kind of a chapter of it here in our church. So I'm going to ask Liz to talk to us about exercise. Okay, number one, Liz, tell us why. Why should we exercise?
I think that is a great question, and I think everybody in this room is very, very smart, and they knew before we did in the medical community how important exercise is with regards to helping with weight loss, helping with many, many diseases, and then it took a while for the medical literature to catch up to you all folks who are so smart to show that it reduces The tendency to get a heart attack, death from a heart attack, various cancers. It helps with mental health, addictions, and Pastor Steve talks about that just in his sermon as well. So many, many benefits. But, you know, the Surgeon General, the new Surgeon General, even last year, she was saying that we should exercise and pay attention to healthy lifestyles, not just to lower our weight and for BMI. That used to be our old goal. But the new paradigm is for overall health. You know, just to kind of paraphrase her, we should exercise and eat better and do stress management so we could have a joy-filled life. She didn't attribute it to God, but that's where, you know, come in here and you hear it just in Losing to Live. You get that, and that's how you can have a joy-filled life, to have that spiritual component too. But doing all those things, we should be aiming for fitness, not fatness. So you all, I applaud all of you who have ever done Losing to Live in the past and who are continuing to do it, or if you're thinking about doing it, do it. Just do it.
Very good. Okay, so I hear you sitting there saying what I struggle with. I just don't have the time. Where am I going to find the time? I'm a busy person. How can I do this? Well, I would like to ask Dr. Liz. Here she is. She is, a more importantly, a child of God. Okay, that takes some time. She's a wife. She's a mother. You know, and she's a physician on top of that. I'd say that's a pretty busy lifestyle, wouldn't you? So tell us, I mean, how do we find time? How do you find time to exercise?
And you're right, we get the same amount of time during the day, so the same amount of quantity of time. So writing down where we spend our time is a great place to start, and then reapportioning where we spend that time. But, you know, some things that I was just thinking about, things that I've done in the past, if I were to watch TV, which I don't have a lot of time to watch TV right now, but if I were to sit, you could sit in the chair, you could be expending some energy lifting a water bottle. You could be doing some leg lifts. You could be doing some seated planks. A lot of people, and somebody was just talking to me about, I want to do some things for the center. You could do core strength training sitting in a chair, leaning back and forth and doing some ab workouts. You could get up. If the Surgeon General, the new guidelines basically say 150 minutes of moderate exercise per week or 75 minutes of vigorous exercise per week, moderately brisk walking is at a 3.5 mile an hour pace. So if you could do the 5K, and I would encourage you to make that a goal, if you could do the 5K in under an hour, like around 45 minutes, that's a good pace of walking. But even just doing, we talk about functional exercise, doing housework or doing things around the house, using the stairs, carrying things up and down the stairs, that is all considered exercise too. And you could do it in 10-minute increments, three times a day, that's your 30 minutes, getting that in five times a week. But I would encourage you, wake up 15 minutes earlier. It won't kill you to not hit the snooze button. Wake up 15 minutes earlier, go to bed 15 minutes later, and you have your 30 minutes of exercise.
Good. Okay, so the last thing I want to talk about is body and soul. This is one option, and it's a great option. That's why here at our church, and we are, I'll just mention this, I mean, we at least half our church drives 30 minutes to get here, okay? At least half, okay? So we are kind of a regional church, and body and soul is actually in other places too. So you go to their website and maybe find a group if you live further out or further away, okay? But right here at our church, we offer it each week. And this flyer tells you about that. And so, Liz, tell us about Body and Soul.
Yes, so Body and Soul is international. So the great thing is most of the classes are here in Northern Virginia and Maryland. You guys have a lot of access to Body and Soul. I would encourage you to look at it because it is not just physical exercise. We do exercise. That's one of the main things. But in terms of priority, what we do is spiritual exercise too. Come and see me at the table because each session, about every 3 months, the session theme changes. And our session theme, starting off at the beginning of this year, is called All In. Be all in. Be wholehearted for God. So it speaks to your heart. It speaks to your mind. It encourages you in your spiritual walk. And I know there's many folks who have been in here in body and soul, and some sitting in the back, and we pray for each other. It is a small group with exercise. Ladies, it is like a women's retreat, you know, every week. But then when guys come in, we do things for co-ed too. So it is strength training. It is cardio. It is kickboxing. We have even a class on Saturday that's new. They come and talk to me about it. Evening classes too.
All right. Thank you, Liz. All right. Number two, set a goal. Manage your habits involves setting a goal. Your goal is a statement of faith in God and a vision for a healthier future. You know, when I started out, I wrote out the goal. I said, I want to lose 100 pounds. That was my goal. It was a statement of faith. It was a vision for a healthier future. Mark 11, Jesus said, say to that mountain, be removed, and it shall be removed. And then write out your goal. Write it out. And post it where you will see it every day. That's important to keep it in front of you. The best way to do this is just simply use little post-it notes and put them where you'll see them. Put one on the mirror. There you are, you know, shaving or drying your hair or whatever. You know, you're looking at your body saying, I want to do something about this. Well, look up there at your goal. Put it at work. When they start bringing all those candies and cookies and all that stuff, I mean, you got your goal right there on the top of your computer. It reminds you what you're about. You know, put it on your refrigerator. So when you open up that refrigerator, you're reminded, you know, what you want more than anything else is to meet this goal. Habakkuk 2:2 says, write it so you can read it when you're running, when you're going through life. Make sure your goal is specific. Specific. Make sure it's achievable. It's an achievable goal. Something that's something that you are capable of. You're not going to lose 100 pounds in one losing weight loss competition. It's just not going to happen. You know, it's got to be achievable. Make sure it's measurable. Measurable. Whatever that goal might be, make sure it's measurable. Now, a healthy weight loss goal is about 1 to 2 pounds a week for long-term weight loss. Now, if you were like me weighing 340 pounds when you start out, first weeks, you might lose 5 pounds, 6 weeks. It happens. But over time, about 1 to 2 pounds for lasting weight loss is the way to go. You didn't get where you are overnight, and you're not going to get where you need to go overnight either. Set a goal. Number three, Daniel set a goal, verses 9 through 12. His goal was for 10 days. 10 days, I'm going to drink water and eat vegetables. That was his goal. Set a goal. Number three, develop a plan. Develop a plan. After setting that goal, he says, here's the plan. You come check us out after 10 days. That was the plan. So you need to choose a plan that is best for you. Now, this is so important. Three things make Bod for God unique, and one of those is it's got to be personal. The one-size-fits-all programs do not work over time. You know, I thank God. I'm so thankful for Rick Warren. That man can get more accomplished in an hour for helping Christians than I can do in a lifetime. I'm so thankful he's got some focus on this right now. I'm so grateful. But I'm telling you, what he's promoting is this Daniel plan of eating. And I think it's great for health. I mean, Daniel plan's right here. Okay, that's kind of what he's really promoting. And it's wonderful for health. It's wonderful for a lot of things. But it's not a lifestyle plan for most of us. Most of us are not going to drink water and eat vegetables the rest of our lives. So the point is this. I'm telling you, almost all those people are going to eventually go back to their regular deal, and they're going to regain that weight. I would much rather have somebody in a losing live competition lose 3 pounds and keep it off using this method of developing a lifestyle plan than somebody losing 25 pounds on the soup diet. Okay, choose a plan that's best for you. That's an eating less and better and exercising more plan. And work it. How do you do that? Well, talk to God. Talk to God about it. If you lack wisdom, ask him. Talk to others. And then number four on the back, follow a routine. Follow a routine. I love verse number 14. Okay? After coming up with this plan, they did it. See, it's one thing to come up with a plan, it's another thing to do it, right? So if you're going to make it a habit in your life, you've got to follow a routine. And they tell us it takes a minimum of 21 days. I actually did some research on this week for the new book I'm writing for men. It takes 21, studies show that it takes 21 days to kind of begin to form a habit, and it takes about 66 days to really make it a routine or really make it a regular part of your life. So somewhere between 21 and 66 days, you're going to have to do something to make it a part of your life. Think about the law of sowing and reaping in relationship to your health. Think about the law of sowing and reaping in relationship to God. I mentioned this in an earlier message. You got to think about this routine as I'm now sowing a new life. And the Bible says you reap whatever you sow. Again, I sow to the flesh, I reap diabetes. I sow to the flesh, I reap high cholesterol. I sow to the flesh, I reap high blood pressure. I shouldn't have been surprised. I had no right I had no right to even ask God to heal me. Because he was saying, you're too fat. Okay, do you see that? Eat less and exercise more. Okay, and I'll heal you. And I started sowing to the Spirit. And guess what? When I surrendered my fork to God, I don't have those health problems anymore. Because I began sowing to the Spirit. What are you sowing to? What are you sowing to in your life? Wow, think about it like that. Repetition will train your body to perform new habits and crave new things. I mentioned that earlier. You start out, it's such a sacrifice. Oh, wow, this is unbelievable. And before long, you're craving the good stuff. And before long, your body actually rejects the bad stuff. It actually rejects it. You get to that point. I mean, think about John the Baptist. Mark 1:6 says he ate locust and wild honey. I think I mentioned this earlier in the message. I don't think I gave you the reference. There it is. Mark 1:6. John the Baptist ate locust and wild honey. John the Baptist ate locust. He wasn't weird. He trained his taste buds. He thought he would think eating ice cream every night is really weird. He would be going, that's gross. You actually put ice cream in your body every single night? You are really strange. Locust and wild honey, he would say, is much better. I like it a lot more. Repetition. And then lastly, celebrate your victory. Celebrate your victory. What you eat in private, you wear in public. What you eat in private, you wear in public. I mean, the test was done. It was over. And guess what happened? They said, wow. You all that were drinking the water and eating the vegetables, you're more healthy than those that actually ate the king's portion. Why? Because what you eat in private, you wear in public. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:18, the wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. Focus on progress, not perfection. Man, congratulate yourself. I mean, you actually took a swig of water. Man, that is unbelievable. You didn't put it in your mouth, but you actually bought some broccoli and smelled it one day. Congratulations. That's awesome. I'm serious. Congratulations. That's fantastic. I mean, you actually tasted an apple. Man, way to go. Way to go. Celebrate every victory. Honestly. Celebrate it. Focus on progress, not perfection. Bod for God is really about living the life that God created you to live. And I want to challenge you to make next steps twofold. And again, if your deal is outside of what my deal is, you can write down whatever you want to do. Okay, but for us that are struggling with gluttony and slothfulness, I want to challenge you today to make your next steps. I'm going to eat less, and with eating less, I'm going to eat better. And number two, I'm going to exercise more. Okay? Will you make that commitment today? Will you make that decision today? These are two incredible next steps when it comes to gluttony and slothfulness. And again, if your deal is prescription drugs, marijuana, alcohol, tobacco, bitterness, fornicating, adultery, porn, whatever your deal is, okay, think about what can you do next. Okay, what can you do next? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word today. Thank you for speaking to us through the Word of God. Thank you for Daniel and what an awesome example he is to us. And God, thank you that we can follow this model today. And God, we pray, Lord, that you would do great and mighty things in our lives. That God, we would see you move in our hearts and our lives. And God, thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.